Joy of listening to the word through Emmanuel Jabaric. Next week, by the way, Pastor Keith will be back and preaching. We're glad to see him back from your travels. So, Dawn, welcome back. Emmanuel, would you come share the word this morning?
I asked Pastor Keith in the foyer, I said, "Pastor, how long can I preach?" He said, "Go as long as you want." As I shared before our song, I want to thank each and every one of you. Really, if I start mentioning names, that would be the end of my sermon. I mean, you know what I mean. Everybody. Just wanted to especially thank God for Pastor Carmichael and Lois for investing in our lives, helping us, praying for us, counseling us. And I also want to thank Pastor Keith and Dawn. I mean, when we were in Dallas in 2015, they flew all the way back to Dallas to be with us, help us set up things there for us. Our desire was to stay there and finish, but God had a different plan, so we had to go back. But how many times when I called Pastor Keith from India, he would counsel and guide and also pray with us, pray for us, and appreciate that very, very much. We're sad that you didn't come and visit us in India, but thank you so much, church, for all that you have done in our lives. We're so dependent on electricity. There's no doubt that electricity is already one of the indispensable components of human life, and our current society is inseparable from electricity. Just think about it. You want a drink of coffee in the morning, but because of power outage, the coffee maker isn't working. And then you have no choice but to drive to the nearest fast food joint to go grab a cup of coffee. When you're getting ready to go, you want to pick up your phone and there is no battery. And the phone's out of charge and you can't charge. You get so irritated. And then you want to open the garage and the garage door doesn't open. And you say, "Well, let me just walk to the nearest store, whatever. I'll go there. There's a sign outside, store closed because of no power." And then you come back home and the water heater isn't working, the toilet isn't functioning, and all the things that go without electricity. And then you sit in your couch and you want to watch something and just forget about everything, but the TV isn't working, and throw the remote down and you just figure out, "Forget it, let me go and sleep in my bed." Everything comes to a standstill when there is no power. But my dear brothers and sisters, friends, can I ask you this question? Does everything come to a standstill in our life when we're disconnected with the power of Almighty God? Or maybe I should ask this way. Do we even sense an uneasiness and feel that uncomfortable in our spirit because we have unplugged ourselves from the source? Life can come to a standstill without electric power. But how about the power of God? Well, today I want to talk to you about the divine power and strength to live. Divine power and strength to live. One New Year's Day in the Tournament of Roses parade in Pasadena, California, a beautiful float suddenly stopped and sputtered and quit. Reason? It was out of gas. The whole parade was held up until someone could get a can of gas. The amusing thing was, the float represented Standard Oil Corporation. With its vast oil resources, its truck was out of gas. Even though Christians have access to God's power, if we do not avail ourselves to it, we will run out of power. D.L. Moody said, when he was speaking to a large audience, he took a cup. I'm sure you've heard of it. And he said, "How can I get all the air out of this cup?" And one man shouted, "Suck it out with a pump." Moody replied that I would create a vacuum and shatter the cup. And after numerous other suggestions, Moody smiled, picked up that cup and poured water. He said, "That's how you get the air out." Then he went on to say, victory in the Christian life is not accomplished by sucking a sin here and a sin there, but by being filled with the Holy Ghost. A.W. Tozer said, if the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on, and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit had been withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop, and everybody would know the difference. And that's why Jesus told his disciples, wait, unless you're clothed with power from above. And he said, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and to the ends of the earth. Today, the text that we have before us is in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. I'd encourage all of us to open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40, because we're going to be delving into this text, and we're going to allow the Spirit of God to expound this text to us so clearly. But oh, how important it is for us to plead the Spirit of God to unveil the truths that are in His Word. To join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to worship you, to glorify your name, to lift the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit of the living God, for convicting us of our sin. As Pastor Dan mentioned that before the service, how important it is for us to confess. We thank you for that work that you did in our life. And now, God, we've opened the Word, and we want to listen to your voice. Hide your servant behind the cross. And when you speak, may all of us hear and listen. And, oh God, may we not just be hearers of your Word. May we be doers of your Word. May none of us leave this sanctuary without a fresh encounter with the living God. And that is our heart's desire today, God, and we're crying out for that. May that happen in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. I'm reading from New King James Version. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The first thing that we're going to see in this text is knowing God, the source of our supernatural power. Can we say that together? Knowing God, the source of supernatural power. See, when you see or hear, you forget. When you say and do, you remember. Amen? And all teachers will say amen. That's why they give homework. That's why they make students to read and write and do things. So let's say it one more time. The first thing that we're going to see in this text, knowing God, the source of supernatural power. Aren't we, the second thing is receiving God's power in God's way. Let's say it. Receiving God's power in God's way. And third, experiencing God's power in our daily walk. Experiencing God's power in our daily walk. The ushers are going to stand out through at the door, and they're not going to let anybody out until you say all these three. No. Knowing God, the source of supernatural power. Aren't we living in the time when there is an information overload? Can I get an amen? Information overload. I mean, all kinds of information that we get in our phones and we're, you know, through social media. It says the average daily time spent on social media among all users is 2 hours and 20 minutes. And this is shocking. The total number of mobile apps on the planet has now reached a massive 8.93 million. Information overload. If you want to summarize every social media, you know, interaction that we have on the social media platform, it all boils down to two questions. Did you know? Have you heard? Am I right? We send something, we look at some information and say immediately, I'm going to post this on the Facebook so all of my followers will know. Did you know? Did you not hear? Well, I have to tell you something. God said the same thing here in Isaiah. Look at verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? What is it that we need to know? My dear friends, listen to me. This information is not going to be an overload on us. This is going to bring change, transformation in your life and my life. Did you not know? Have you not heard? What is it, God? Here it is. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Oh, how wonderful it would be when we wake up in the morning and remind one another, have you not heard? Did you not hear? What? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Those of you who are chemistry teachers, professors, I have to confess, I don't like chemistry. But I heard about this word called entropy. Entropy comes from second law of thermodynamics. What does it say? Nothing gets better. It all gets worse. That's why when you hear somebody say, oh, I love this world, it's going to get better. Here it is. The Bible says, heaven and earth will... Don't hold on to anything. Everything is going to pass away. That's why we cannot unscramble an egg. Everything changes, and it goes from good down to worse, then it disappears. Except Jesus. That's why He is an everlasting God. Nothing changes in Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Companies change names. Weather changes. People change. I look at my picture when Hannah and I walked into BBC, I look a lot different. I look at most of you, you just don't laugh at when I say about myself. Most of you, you look different. I have to say, I'm sorry, who are you? Everything changes. But guess what? The Bible tells us, have you not known? Have you not heard? Everlasting God. And because He's an everlasting God, oh, the Bible reminds us about everlasting covenant that He made with us. We will always be a child of God. If you have placed your faith and trust in Christ alone, by faith alone, plus nothing, you are a child of God forever. He's made an everlasting covenant. And remember, He has His everlasting arms supporting you. That's why the Bible says, no weapon that is fashioned against you will prosper. He has His everlasting arms. He has everlasting love. His everlasting mercy. His everlasting righteousness. He is an everlasting king. It is everlasting kingdom. He has an everlasting strength. His everlasting salvation. Everlasting life. Everlasting joy. Everlasting kindness. Everlasting gospel. But the Bible also talks about everlasting punishment for those who don't believe in Jesus, and everlasting fire. My dear friends, we have a God who is everlasting. Amen. Second, have you not known? Have you not heard? Everlasting God, and then the Lord. The word Lord, in Hebrew is the word Yahweh. We also translate that to Jehovah, which means He is a self-existent God. To make it a little easier, He is not dependent upon anything. You and I are dependent upon everything and I'm dependent on this pulpit to hold my Bible. I'm dependent on this water bottle. We're dependent on everything. I'm dependent on gravity. Thank God. God is not dependent on anyone or anything. Self-existent God. That's why He said, I am who I am. The next thing, have you not heard? Have you not known? He is the Creator. What do we mean by that? He created all things by the word of His mouth. He spoke and they were created. Everything that you and I see came from nothing. And not only is He a Creator, but He's also the one who upholds all things by the word of His power. And then the Bible says, He neither faints nor is weary, which means He is all-powerful. He neither faints nor is weary. Theologians use the word omnipotent, all-powerful God. And then His understanding is unsearchable. I love this verse in Romans 11:33. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Unsearchable is His wisdom. 2010. Boarded a flight in Indianapolis International Airport. Went all the way to India. Had no idea. At 14 years later in 2024, we board a flight in another city in India and come back here to Indianapolis International Airport. We ask this question, how is this happening? We were reminded of this verse. His knowledge, His wisdom, His understanding is unsearchable. That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, we sing songs like this. There is no God like Jehovah. Our God is an awesome God. Read with me. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. How great Thou art. There is no... Eternal, Creator, Lord, self-existent, not dependent on anyone, unchanging God, omnipotent God, all-powerful, and all-wise God. This is the God who is the source of your strength and my strength. This is the God. Oh, Bible Baptist Church, please remember, not that you don't know it, but may I remind all of us today, your God, my God, is so great. He's so awesome. He's so powerful. He is eternal. He's the one who spoke everything into creation. Plug into Him. He is the source of your strength and my strength. Second, not only knowing God, the source of our supernatural strength. Second, I see in this text, receiving God's power in God's way. We think we can receive God's power in different ways sometimes. No. He, in His wisdom, has revealed that there is only one way that we can receive His wisdom. He has made it very clear that animals have to walk on the ground, that fish has to swim in the sea, that birds have to fly in the air. If He has established a law for all that, those creatures, He has established a law. There's only one way to get to Him, and that is through Jesus. That is it. How do we receive God's power in God's way? Well, let's go ahead and read the text if you have the Bibles open. Let me read verse 29. He gives power to the weak and to those who have might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord. I know some of you are thinking, well, there's a lot of PowerPoint slides here. I'll allow the brothers there who control it. If you need this, you can take it. I take Visa, Master. No. You're welcome to take it. Please. Because this will encourage you as it has encouraged me and it continues to. Now, looking at this text, I see three things just in these two verses. I must acknowledge that I am weak without God's power and strength. Because He gives power to the weak. Those who acknowledge, says, God, I am powerless without You. I don't want to depend on these things that give me natural power. I want to depend on You because supernatural power comes from You. Acknowledge our weakness. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Second, understand the difference between natural and supernatural power. Look at that verse. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And all the young people here are rebelling inside their heart. How in the world? I mean, if I am so strong and lift 250 pounds in bench press, I can't do... No. It is not natural power, it's supernatural. There is a difference. And third, waiting upon the Lord. But I'm going to focus, I'm going to have all of us zero in on that one word the next few minutes. Wait. But those who wait upon the Lord. What does that word wait mean? By the way, we use that word in English. I'm waiting for you on Dixon Road. I'll come. You know, when you come, I'll join. No, it's not a passive word. In the Hebrew, it is an active word. The word wait means looking expectantly, desperately. And there's another meaning of for that, which is bind or twist together as strands or rope. Those are the two meanings of the word wait. Looking expectantly and binding or twisting together. Let me remind us of the incident that happened in the wilderness. In Numbers, we read, when Israelites in the wilderness complained, murmured, grumbled against Moses and against God, God sent fiery serpents. When these serpents bit the Israelites, they died. And when they went and complained to Moses, Moses goes to God and God says, make a bronze serpent and raise it up. So when a person gets bitten by the serpent, they have to do what? Look up to the pole, to the serpent. Look. What look? Not, well, I don't know if that's going to work. No. A desperate look. A look of longing. Why? One look moved people from death to life.
Amen.
One look. That's that wait. That desperate, expectant look. And that's why Jesus said that. He said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Why? So that one look at Jesus, believing in Jesus, desperately and saying, oh Lord, I need your salvation. Oh God, forgive my sins. Oh God, clothe me with power. That desperate look. Oh, John reminded his people, his disciples, behold the Lamb. Translate that into our local English. Look at Jesus. That look. You know, there's a verse, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, the eyes of the maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until He has mercy on us. If you want to understand this verse, you need to go to another country to understand the culture. For instance, please listen to me. If I were to drive on one of the streets in India and there are people who ask for alms, it's not like how people here sit with a sign outside, please help. They literally come to you. You have to open lower your window and take your wallet out and watch me, listen to me. When you take the wallet out to give to them, I know my children have seen that many times. These people who ask for alms, their eyes are constantly looking at your hand in the wallet. And you're thinking, what? Here's why. They don't want coins. They're looking for bills. They're desperate. Desperate. My dear friends, are we desperate for power from God? Desperate. Now how about like a band twisting, entwining? No longer are we relying on our own strand of strength, but our single strand becomes one with the supernatural strength of our almighty and everlasting God. Entwine your life with God and watch your strength rise like an eagle. You know what that is? Constant, ongoing fellowship with Jesus. Not Sunday morning, not Wednesday evening. No, no, no. 7 days a week, 8 hours minus 24 hours, constantly looking up to Him. Intimacy with Jesus is so important. One of the areas where we can do that on a regular basis is in the discipline of prayer. My dear friends, may I say this? Please listen to me. It is shocking for us to see how the attendance is to the max on Sunday mornings, but unfortunately on Sunday, as we travel, we see this in different churches. Sunday evening, half the size. Wednesday evening, you can count how many are there for prayer. As the boiler room is so important to this church during winter time, prayer is so important for us. Oh, it is so important for us. We need to spend time with the Lord.
Amen.
very important. And when we do that, strength will rise. Amen?
Amen.
As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Sing with me as if you're sitting like as if you don't know this song. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, as we wait upon the Lord. Our God. It's already late. You can sing that as you go home. He is our everlasting God. He is the creator. He is the one from whom our the source. He is the source from where our help comes from. How does it come? Look. What look? Not a casual look, but a desperate look. May I put some words here? Please listen to me. As we go to on our knees in prayer, please let's not say, oh God, take care of this situation. God, I need your help. God, I'm facing this issue in my life. God, no. Fall on our knees. Men, can I encourage all of us? Men, we must fall on our knees before God and shake the foundation and say, Lord, help me. God help me, because we want to be Christian men. You know what America needs now? America needs godly men who can go on their face and look up to Jesus with an expectant look, have fellowship with Jesus and say, oh God, fill me with your power. America needs godly women who can set aside time to go on their knees seeking God's power. Oh God, I need your power to live as a godly man. I need power to live as a godly wife. I need power to live as godly children. We need power to live as a godly pilot. We need power to live as a godly surgeon, as a godly teller, godly people. That can happen only one way. A desperate look. Oh God. I'm going to turn my phone off. I don't want to be interrupted by that ping sound when I'm praying. I want to shut the door and I'm going to cry out to you. Why? God, I want to be clothed with your power. You want to know the secret for all of us to live a victorious Christian life? Power of Almighty God. You want to know how to minister effectively? In this ungodly world, power of Almighty God. You want to know how to share the witness boldly? Power of Almighty God. You want to know how, when we walk into Kroger or Meijer and somebody says, there's something different in your life. You want to know how that can happen in our lives? Power of Almighty God. Oh, let's plug into that power. But there's only one way. Desperate, expectant look. I say the word desperate, we sometimes quickly think about how desperate we can be for food when we're traveling on the interstate and for, you know, long distance, and we're just so desperate and our kids are yelling for Chick-fil-A only. And we're desperate for Chick-fil-A, and then we drive into the drive-thru and there's 20 cars before us. Desperate. And then you look at your children when they get that spicy chicken sandwich and the strawberry milkshake or peach milkshake during this season. When they have that in their hand, look at the smile in their face. They're satisfied because their desperation is gone. And now you know what our children like to eat, right? My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do we have that same desperation when it comes to the divine power of Almighty God? Oh, wait to go and be in the presence of Almighty God. I need His power. Why? So that I can live a godly life. So that I can live a victorious Christian life. So that I can go and lift my brother up. So I can go and encourage my sister. So I can go and be what Jesus wants me to be. There's only one way. A desperate look. Desperate. Finally, what happens when we receive God's power in God's way? We experience His power in our daily walk. But those who wait on the Lord shall... Let's read it together, church. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The word renew means move from natural to supernatural. That word literally means change. When we wait upon the Lord, the strength, the power changes from natural to supernatural. Natural to supernatural. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." When the church in Colossae, when the church in Galatia, when the church in Corinth sat under the teaching of this short man called Paul, they were shaking. Why? Not persuasive words of human wisdom, but with the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. How is that possible? Paul went from natural strength to supernatural. Because he was looking up to Jesus constantly. And so the next thing, what happens when we wait upon the Lord? We will soar with wings like eagle. On a beautiful afternoon, we sit outside and look up and we see eagles. Isn't that amazing? Real quick, I'm not going to talk about eagles a lot, but did you know recently we heard about two airlines that had a great reputation for flying without any problem? Two major airlines suffered severe problems because of air turbulence. I wouldn't mention the name of those airlines, and don't Google it now, please. Air turbulence, but it is said that when eagles face turbulence, the turbulence helps eagles and it will just soar higher. Isn't that amazing? When you and I wait upon the Lord, when we face challenges and difficulties and pressures, when we face criticisms, when we are anxious, when we have problems, when we have challenges, listen, all of that will work together for good and we will soar. Literally what that means, Paul says in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." When we wait upon the Lord, we will set our mind on the things of God. And not on earthly things. The next, we will run and not be weary. Run and not be weary. Reminded of Hebrews chapter 12. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us, looking unto Jesus." We keep our eyes on Jesus. We have the desperate look upon Jesus. My dear brothers and sisters, I'm reminding all of us, we will run, leaving the weight of sorrow, weight of challenges, weight of difficulty, and not getting entangled by the sin. And we will run with endurance and not be weary. And we will walk and not faint. Colossians 1:1 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We'll move from natural to spiritual. It won't be just persuasive words of human wisdom. It will be the words of the living God and the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. And these words that we use will never return back void. It will accomplish what we sent it to accomplish. When we desperately go on our knees, seek His face, and cry out to Him and says, "Oh God," maybe there are some of you here, and you don't know the joy of salvation, may I encourage you, have a desperate longing look to Jesus. Maybe there's something that happened in your life and it's heavy upon you. It is slowing you down. Maybe you are entangled in a sin. You can be overcomers. Look up to Jesus. When His power flows in and through you and me, we will soar with wings like eagle. We will run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint. Supernatural power of God. I was thinking about how to close this. I'm going to say an illustration and we're going to close. Isaiah chapter 61. You don't have to turn your Bible. The verse is there. This talks about, this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ, Messiah. Listen to what the verse, what Isaiah said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon God, Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, filled me with His power, to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. If Jesus needed the power of anointing of God upon Him so He can do all this, my dear friends, you and I need it. Oh, that you and I would say, the Spirit of God is upon me, for He has empowered me to live a godly life, to live an overcoming life, to live a victorious life, to live a life that rescues people who are perishing, to not live a self-centered life, to not live a life that says, it's all about me. No, to live a life that says, it's about those who are lost in sin. Let me close with this illustration. Dr. Herbert Jackson was given a car to help him in his work in mission field. The car was a major asset, but it had one difficulty. It wouldn't start without a push or a jump start. Jackson devised a system to cope with the car's inability to start. When he was ready, he would walk to the neighboring school and ask permission from the principal to have some students over to come over and push his car. And not only that, when he had to go quickly into a store and grab something real quick, he would make sure that he would park his car on a downhill. He came up with all kinds of ideas of how to get this car start. 2 years. Dr. Jackson had to return back to his country because of some challenges that he had. When a new missionary went to that field before Dr. Jackson wound up everything, he looked at Dr. Jackson and says, Dr. Jackson, you have a car? He said, yes, it's all yours. But it has one difficulty. It wouldn't start. And he gave him all the things that he had to do. The young missionary opened the hood, and he looked at the loose cable. He twisted the cable, pushed the switch. The engine roared to life. For 2 years, Dr. Jackson had used his own devices, endured needless trouble. The power to start the car was there all the time. It only needed to be connected. Our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. The mountains are His. The valleys are His. The stars are His handiwork too. But above all of that, He looks at you and me. this powerful God wants you and me to get plugged to Him so the power can flow from Him to us and through us to our family, to our church, our society, and the people who are lost. Oh, let's do that. Desperate, longing cry in prayer, seeking God for His power in our lives. God bless you.